You know, they will let white folks make a movie about any goddamn thing. Look at Hollywood. Scissorhands, give me a fucking break. Somebody is on crack. Somebody's smoking a pipe at the studio. Somebody at the studio is smoking crack. Scissorhands, throw mama from the train. Only white folks can throw their mama from a damn train, and it's a hit fucking movie. Ain't that some crazy shit? Throw mama from a goddamn... What's the other thing? White men can't jump. They don't have to. They own the team. Some white man is at bank right now. Ooh, my niggas are jumping. Oh, jump, nigga. White daddy make you jump. Jump. Oh, jump. Single white female. They'll let white folks make a movie about any fucking thing. But I knew they were crazy when they let them make Driving Miss Daisy. In the 90s. Driving Miss Daisy. Fuck Miss Daisy. I will walk before I drive some goddamn Miss Daisy. Some old Jewish woman, I'll take a bagel and beat the shit out of Miss Daisy. This is the 90s. I'll drive that bitch to an alley and rob her. I will do a carjack. Miss Daisy would be on the fucking bus. She fuck with me. See, a lot of you are relating, but a lot of white folks are not laughing. They're holding back because they love that tar baby, Aunt Jemima, let's go back bullshit. Oh, me dating, I love it. Fuck that. I don't like that cooning, happy slave bullshit. See, you're white. You can go back. Back to the Future. They like all that shit. You can skip on back. Your little ass is white. I go back. I can only go back so far that my black ass is in chains. Fuck you. I'm not going back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Come on, nigga. Come on back. Come back to Jamaica. Come on. No, I'm going to stay here in the 90s where I can tell you to kiss my black ass. I didn't like the ending of that movie. In the rest home, he's feeding it. Oh, you my best friend. I said, look, poison this bitch so I can go home and get to sleep. What they going to do? Let Spike Lee write and direct part two? Driving Miss Daisy some more? You know, Scissorhands, give me a fucking break. I used to always like put, you know, your race because you're black into movies. I always thought Frankenstein was a nigga. No, because all white folks were always chasing Frankenstein. Huh? Get him! Get him! He was always running like a nigga. And he grunted like niggas. And when he catch him, he's just like a nigga. He'd whoop their ass. He said, I threw motherfuckers all over the place. Rah! I said, get him, nigga. Rah! He steals shit, remember? And then white people were scared of him like they're scared of niggas. Oh, what was that? What was that? Niggas behind, is it him? That shit used to fuck me up. I'm sorry. We tried to catch that nigga, wouldn't
it? White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is Terrible Tommy here in the bunker on a beautiful day. A little cool, but we've got sunshine. That's the main thing. The All-Father's sun is bright in the sky. And if I'm going to worship anything, it's going to be the sun, like millions of people have done, and tens of millions of people have worshipped the sun, including the Aryan race. How about that? So it is October the 20th, 2015, you know. And the reason to revere the sun, not necessarily worship it, because if that sun goes out, you're through. You want to talk about the end of the earth? The end of the earth, like these stupid Zionist churches around, one just called for end of the earth this weekend. Wrong. Go back to the drawing board. Go back to the computer and figure it out. But if that sun goes out, that's it. Real quick. But why would I need anything else to revere than the sun? It gives us eternal life on the earth. Yeah. So, which makes it very plain that the allegories of the Bible were for the most part, talking about the sun. And if you don't think so, check into it. Check it, man! We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your moolah to, so I can go down on the Mississippi like Dukester did and gamble my ass off. The only difference, I'd have lost it a lot faster than he did. Because when I gamble, forget it. $20, that's it. We're going home. And if you don't go up to resist.com and take advantage of the tremendous amount of education about your history and the race and modern things that are happening and up-to-date breaking news, if you don't do that, what the hell are you worth? I mean, people will come to me and they'll say, well, guess what I found out? And I'll listen to them and I'll say, shit, I had that up on my website 20 years ago. Where you been? You know, then you got these other guys, the Jews cause everything. The weather changes, it's the Jews. If this is the Jews, it's always the Jews. Instead of saying, sure, there's a lot of Jews do some bad shit, and they've got this Zionist thing, and they've got Masonic programs, and they got secret societies. Yeah, but they don't do everything. When you fall for that crap like the right wing, you're making gods out of them. You're making superhumans out of the Jews. And they, look, in the morning when they crawl out of bed, the guys, probably the girls too, they put their pants on one leg at a time. One leg at a time, just like you do. So don't worship the Jews. And the right wing really worships the Jews, as far as I'm concerned. When you say one group of people or one religion does everything wrong, then you're worshiping them. You're making them the most evil thing that ever was. Well, that's worship, as far as I'm concerned. It's just taking the information from their Christian-created Satan, which is nonsense, and converting it over to people, you know, like they do Hitler. He's one of their satanic symbols, too. Anybody they don't like who really does some bad shit, they make them into Satan. Well, from what I read in the Bible, which mostly is nonsense, Satan didn't sound that bad to me. he was the Lord of this earth, and he was nature-oriented. And so forth and so on. I don't remember reading anything horribly bad about Satan in the Bible. So maybe they're camouflaging Satan worship under cover of the Christian Bible. Now, like the book I've got says, what does it say? Christian Bible, the devil's book. And you got to read that. It's a really good book to read. Anyhow, well, it's Tuesday. I always know when it's Tuesday because it's trash day and garbage man comes. And this is a favorite day for my two dogs. They wait for hours waiting on the trash man so they can go into the front yard and go spastic, barking their ass off, leaping around, doing somersaults. And then, like most people, once the immediate threat is over, back in the house sleeping. Yeah, that's the way most white people are. They hear one story and they get all excited, and next thing you know, they're back asleep. Well, the week is very interesting. 7 days. Well, let's say Monday, okay? We'll take Monday as the first day. Now, that's pretty... To most people, Monday's pretty shitty. It doesn't bother me, but I know how a lot of people feel about Monday. And then Tuesday, well, it's not Wednesday yet. You're not halfway of the week. But you're not Moon's Day either, the shitty day of the week. So it's sort of in between. It's sort of a no man's land. Then Wednesday, wow, Wednesday, people start perking up and saying, well, if I hang in there, it's going to get Friday one of these days, and I'll get some time off. So Wednesday, afternoon, we're over the hump. We're heading down the other side. Thursday, now Thursday is, you're really starting to get excited. Say, oh man, on Thursday I can start looking forward to having a hell of a lot of fun down at the old Tommy's beer joint. Yeah, and because that'll be going on, it'll start Thursday, but it mainly is Friday. But on Friday, that's the big day, man. You're getting the, well, unless you work on Saturday. Poor guys that work on Saturday, that's bullshit. But anyhow, Friday's the big day. Thank God it's Friday. Thank Ode it's Friday. Thank Methuselah it's Friday. And then you're out of there, man. You can go out and raise hell and get in fist fights and hang niggers or whatever you want to do. But always remember, there's a price to pay for freedom. So you're free on the weekend, but that's the time when most people get in trouble. So think about what you're doing before you do it. Well, old Donald Trump is surprising me. I'm going to get a little more interested in that boy. If you heard what he said about the Bush crime family. Now, that may be the reason why they're getting him Secret Service. They just threw the nigger in just for looks to get Secret Service. But Trump is attacking the Bush crime family and the whole 9/11 and all that stuff. Now, that's I'm beginning to pay more, a little more attention to him, because even if the whole problem we've got isn't solved, he's raising enough shit to either get him assassinated or something. So I'm paying a little bit more attention to him, because I never thought he'd come out with all this stuff. You know, I told you this before, I lived about 20 miles from where the apartment was, where one of the guys who was supposedly on the plane that took it down over in Pennsylvania. And he lived in an apartment with a police informant, FBI informant, for quite some time. Now, is the FBI that stupid? Are they? I think they are. That they didn't even get a whiff. Or if they didn't get a whiff, the fix was in. Now, if they'd have had one of our undercover boys in the FBI, which we weren't too much into that at that time, but we're full-blown into it now. If he'd have called me on the phone quietly from the back of a bar someplace, said, "Tom, we got one of these guys down here, one of the Arabs or Muslims or Islamic guys, and they're planning something big. I've been living in the same apartment with him for quite a while. They're planning something big, Tom. Can you do something about it?" And you know what I would have done? I'd have gone down there to San Diego where they were at, and I'd identified the guy. When he walked out of the building, I'd have blown his brains out. I really would have. Even though I've never murdered anybody or killed anybody or planned to do it, but if I'm told by some undercover FBI guy that this guy's super dangerous and he's going to do something really big and bad, I would have had no trouble strapping on my .45 and going down there and taking care of business. Look at what the number of people it would have saved. And it would have saved us from getting into the whole Mideast thing. I mean, we're in it somewhat, but the whole Mideast crap has come out of the 9/11. And anybody that attacks the Bush crime family is all right with me. Boy, I just got interrupted. Somebody called me, some salesman again. I'm going to have to put my unit on there that stops them, because I'm starting to get them more and more again. Some nigger from out someplace, who knows, Philippines or someplace, wanted to sell me insurance. life insurance. I said, I don't believe in life insurance, goddammit. He said, well, what do you do to protect people, your family? I said, well, I save my money and put it right where it belongs, in my goddamn mattress in my bedroom. So when I kick the bucket, my kids could come down here and slit that thing open and the money will pour out like you'd never believe. He said, thank you for taking the call, sir. Goodbye. Anytime a salesman calls you up on the phone, have fun with them. Humor is a great weapon. Humor is a great weapon. Coincidentally, before I forget it, I want to remind you that those of you who have taken advantage of getting our non-equal decals, of which not enough have done it, which upsets me, what you should do is do like the one fellow did that I talked to you about yesterday, is take an 8.5 by 11 or 8.5 by 14 and make a master of a whole page full of these small decals, paste them on there for a master. Then you find a copying machine and you copy off hundreds of them. You don't have to have it in color. And then cut them all up to where you've got hundreds of them and put a bunch of them, every time you go downtown, put a bunch of them in your pocket or both pockets and let the wind do the rest. But the one thing I want to remind you of, since I'm a poor gambler, don't just print them on one side of the sheet. Print them on both sides of the sheet. That way, no matter how it ends up on the sidewalk or wherever, they're going to see the symbol. I'm telling you, I used to do that a lot and still do, but back in the old days, I'd print one side, and I'll be damned. Every time I throw one out there, it always come up on the blank side. That's my luck at gambling. I said, what the hell is this? No matter what conditions or when, is snow, rain, whatever, I throw these damn things out and they all come up on the white side, the blank side. That don't do me any good. So always do them on both sides. Well, you can print thousands of these things cheaply, and get them out and get up on a tall building in the middle of Baltimore or wherever you're at. Let them fly, baby. Or along a bus trail or a train, interurban, you know, where when they come into the station, the wind blows like hell. Let them fly, man. They'll go for blocks. So I think we've got something going here, and it's too bad, you know, the National Alliance originally created that symbol. But they're great, wonderful, massive numbers of members are too chicken shit to put them out. Only a few guys did. To make something like this work, it's got to be recognized all over the country. Got to get people asking questions and get the news media asking questions and so forth. Otherwise, it won't work this time either. Now, I'm going to look up a place that maybe make me a flag. I got to get a flag. And if I can get a good flag made of the unequal sign, I'm going to fly it about 30 feet above the roof of my house. I normally don't promote that, but in this case, I think it would work because people are going to get, they'll associate Tom Metzger with that symbol. Oh, now we know. But we're not going to put a Confederate or rebel flag up there, even though I respect it greatly. We're not going to put a Swazi up there, even though I respect it greatly. We're going to put up something that they can't go into all that. This is just non-equal. That's it. We don't say anything on it or anything. It's non-equal. Let her fly. Let's do it. Get out there and do it. And if you're in a real close proximity to a lot of people, you can cut a hole in the bottom of your pants pocket. Fill your pocket with them and then shove them with your fingers out through and they come down your legs. Or like a friend of mine did in San Francisco who never got caught doing this, he took a cane, a regular walking cane, he took the end out of it and put a rubber in there and he made like a stamp of the swastika. And then he put some ink in above it, so it sort of pre-ink itself. He went all over downtown San Francisco putting these swazis all over the pavement, and they never could figure out where they're coming from. You walk down the street in Haight-Ashbury, see a trail of swastikas 2 blocks long. Everybody saying, "What the hell? Who did that? Who did that? Who did do that? We're going to get their ass. That's a hate crime." Well, that was before hate crimes. Well, I want my funny bone to get tickled again. I have a hell of a sense of humor. I even laugh at some of my enemies' jokes. I guess that's the first sign of, "You're crazy, man. You're crazy." Well, as you know, George Carlin, I consider the Pope of the Church of What's Happening Now. And I love his stuff. So I identified with him because he's was about the same age as I am before he died. Wow. And he's the funniest damn guy I ever heard. And anyhow, he likes to talk about old fucks once in a while. I'm going to play that for you because the older I get, the more I feel right in the groove with old George Carlin.
But since the last time I might have seen some of you folks, I have had my 70th birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm now 70 years old, and I like 70. Not as much as I like 69. Well, 69 was always my favorite number. Now I figure I'm 69 with one finger up my ass. But now that I'm an old fuck, and that's what I consider myself to be, an old fuck. Old fuck is a very special term. It's not like old man. Old man is different. Old man isn't really a time in your life or a period of years. It's an attitude. Old man is a point of view. It's a way of looking at things. Some guys are old men when they're in their 20s. You've met guys like that. They're just wired like old men. Not me. Not an old man and not an old fart. Because an old fart is kind of... What I am is an old fuck. It's kind of like a fat fuck. You know what I mean? Fat fuck, tall fuck, skinny fuck, short fuck. Old fuck. Who's the old fuck? That's Georgie. Georgie's the old fuck. In this respect, fuck is actually a synonym for the word fellow. But now that I'm an old fuck, I'm beginning to notice some advantages to putting on a few extra years. The first one is, you never have to carry anything heavy ever again. Everybody wants to help an old fuck. If you got a big suitcase or something like that, you know, you just kind of go like this a little bit. You say, "Yeah, could you help me with this?" Say, "Yeah, hey, how far are you going?" Indianapolis. He wants to help. Fuck them, put them to work. Take advantage of people. Another nice thing about getting old is you can leave any social event early just by saying you're tired. Works great with family members. Just turn to the person next to you and say, "Geez, I'm getting tired, you know." "Oh, you're tired? Come on, Grandpa's tired. Grandpa's going to bed." Someone else says, "But it's 7:30 in the morning." There's always one asshole in the family. But the best thing about getting old is you're not responsible for remembering things anymore. Even important things. "But it was your daughter's funeral." "I forgot." You can even make believe you have Alzheimer's disease. That's a lot of fun. You look around the dining room table and you say, "Who are you people and where is my horse?" Then you stare at your eldest son and say, "Agnes, I haven't seen you since First Communion." Fucks them up. Fucks them up. They don't know how to handle it. Takes them a week to get over that shit. And they start listening to you a lot more carefully from then on. So don't be afraid to get old. It's a great time of life. You get to take advantage of people, and you're not responsible for anything. You can even shit in your pants. Oh, well, you know. Yeah. Hey, they expect it. I haven't tried that yet, but I don't rule it out. I'm keeping my options open. Everything is on the table. Perhaps that's not the figure of speech I wanted.
Like I always say, if you're not offended with that, try tomorrow. I'll try harder to offend you. But I love that kind of humor. Maybe not quite as dirty potty mouth, but still, it's funnier than hell. And that is one thing about getting older. I noticed that too, you know. These guys will come up and want to open the door for me and shit. I can take them down myself, these guys, most of them. They're wimps. They're big fat bastards in the whole bit. They're going to open my door? Oh, that's funny. Or carry something for me? Yeah, I said, oh, hell yes. Carry it all the way to Indianapolis. That's fine with me. So anyhow, old age can be fun. If it's not fun, it's misery. But I have a lot of fun, especially when I get out there and out rock and roll the young guys, or do the, what the hell was that dance? The twist. I can still twist all the way down to the floor and back up again. No problem, okay? Anyhow, that's enough of that shit. Anyhow, like I say, Trump is beginning to amaze me. I had written him off as just being another flunky, and he's not going to be the president. Are you kidding? Talking like that, they'd kill him in a second if he was serious. So, but he is really causing the shit. I'm telling you, it's really good. Anybody, like I say, who attacks the Bush crime family, I gotta love them. I gotta love them. Because you and I both know, all know, that hundreds of thousands, millions of people have died as a direct result of the Bush crime family. And Cheney and all those guys. And a bunch of them on the Democrat side, too. I mean, that's not funny. I mean, there are people around here would die for George Bush Jr. right now. They want to name bridges after him and outhouses after him and everything else. It's unbelievable. He is absolutely a total rat, and everybody in his family is a rat, too, and should be taken to The Hague, tried in the world court, found guilty, hopefully, and hang the bastards. And I and a lot of lone wolves, most lone wolves, I think, agree with that. And also lefties, a lot of progressives, they hate him just as bad as we do. Even worse than I hate the Clintons and the bullshit they were pulling in Contra, leaving Arkansas open to the CIA planes, bringing in massive amounts of drugs. And the same people that are crying about, we want to help the Negro, we want to help the Negro, were the same people that were pouring black neighborhoods full of drugs in the big city. Same ones. I mean, these guys, whether it's the Bushes, who are probably the worst, or the Clintons, or any of these guys. I mean, these guys think about how bad they are and what criminals they are. I mean, it drives you crazy. They're still walking around. Yeah. And that's probably why Donald Trump and the Negro are getting Secret Service protection. I don't think it has anything to do with the Negro. I think they just threw him in there to make it look good. This invasion of Europe by these hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Middle Easterners, no news to me. I could see it coming when I read Camp of the Saints, the book that was written 25 years ago, when he said this type of thing was going to happen, but he said his book, it was the Asians. But I pretty well figured out it's not strategically as easy for the Asians to do it, because they'd have to do it by ships. I mean, big trips on ships. So I figured they must be talking about the Muslims. So I was thinking about this 25 years ago, and I was even talking about it to the stupid right-wing leaders and so forth, but they didn't pay any attention. It's going to happen. Do you think this is an accident? Do you think that these massive numbers coming out of the Middle East is an accident? Nothing like that is an accident. They set a few things in motion, like creating regime change all over the Middle East, putting occupying troops in there to piss off the natives forever. I mean, they're going to fight the U.S. forces forever. And when they've knocked the last building down, the last house down, the last cornfield down, the last reservoir, and the people have absolutely squat, they're going to do what nature says. They're going to march towards someplace where it's at, just like Camp of the Saints. Now, you think the Pentagon didn't, those guys that sit up there with their computers and everything, don't know this stuff, are not able to see what's going to happen? Horse shit. This was planned just like they had it on the drawing board. And that shows you again how the Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the State Department and all these people are psychopathic killers. And they don't care. And the sick thing about it is they're acting like they want these people to come in, and they do, to destroy Europe, to break down all the national lines in Europe. They want that because they know there's a collapse coming. And they know it's going to be chaos. And, of course, me, I like chaos because out of chaos comes affirmation and leadership, the right kind of leadership, the right kind of ruthless, take-no-names leadership that can take it away from these pansy-ass Pentagon people, pansy-ass cowardly people on Wall Street, canny-ass politicians, and put it back in the hands of a type of Genghis Khan type thing. Sort of like an Aryan ISIS. Boy, that'll get me kicked out of every right-wing meeting in the country. An Aryan ISIS, what do you think about that? Fuck it. We got to be straight. We got to say it like it is. We can't beat around the bush anymore. I haven't been beating around the bush for a long time, of course. 30 years. Worse is better for now. Worse is better for now. There's nothing you can do about it. It's all been planned. It's all set up by the financial people, the capitalistas, predatory capitalists, military people. It's all set up. You're not going to stop it. But it is going to eat the tail of the snake. They overplay their hands, just like Israel. Israel overplays their hands all the time. And so on a bigger scale, the United States and Western Europe, all these so-called leaders overplay their hand. And all you have to do is look at history of all these great conquerors of the past. They all ended up the same way. Every one of them, whether it's Alexander or Napoleon or what, they all ended up the same way. Pick up your history book and read about it. But now, they don't know what to do. Oh, they try to maneuver it somewhat. But it's like all these assholes in Washington in the financial district. They're on the top of Mount Everest, starting down, riding on a toboggan. They're on the ride of their life, a toboggan, something they can't stop. Nature will stop them. Nature will kill them. You can't screw with Mother Nature and nature's laws and rules of evolution. You can't screw with that. It comes back and bites you in the ass every decade you try it. Some of the desperate things they do is all your television shows and the movies all have to have a black hero. Any white guy that's in the movie's got to have a black counterpart. You got to have black nuclear scientists. You got to have black heads of the FBI, black presidents, all this shit. I mean, every show on TV is full of blacks now, and they're all geniuses. They never make a mistake. Whitey's stupid. Whitey's the next, he's the guy that holds the guy's lunch. I mean, it's become so niggerized so fast. And you notice advertising. It's become so niggerized so fast that it's almost, I'd almost cheer it on. Yeah. Because nothing helps like shoving it down people's throats. I love it when they shove it down people's throats, especially the people who we can't care about because they have the intelligence, they have the brain power to figure it out, but they don't care. They don't care, or they turn the other way. They're not going to do a goddamn thing until the door comes kicked off the hinges. So why should I have any sympathy whatsoever for them? That's sort of like these people worried all about the white girl, white whores that jumped in the sack with Bill Cosby. That ugly, ugly son of a bitch. I mean, you know. How can you feel sorry for these white girls that would lay it in bed with that ape? I mean, it's unbelievable. But, so, they don't get any sympathy from me. In fact, I don't sympathize as much with anybody except the people who do the right thing, and that's our way, lone wolf way. The rest of them, just like in the movies, let the tidal wave sweep them away. And when things really get bad, don't trust any of these right-wingers and these whacked-out right-wing Christian Zionists and all that kind of stuff. They will cut your throat faster than a regular communist. They'll cut your throat faster than ISIS would cut your throat. And a lot of people are not going to listen to me, but you're going to learn the hard way if you do. They can't be trusted. The conservatives can't be trusted. They can't. Well, number one, because there aren't any conservatives. The last conservative died, I think, about 25 years ago. They're no, nobody's trying to conserve our race, just a few of us, maybe 1%. The rest of them don't care. They don't give a shit, so we cannot give a shit about them and not concern ourselves with their woes and their big problems that are beginning to happen. Niggers killing white people? Oh, too bad. Greasy mestizos raping white women? Oh, too bad. Because anything else, any other response, you're playing right into the system's hands. Number one, you hate the system first. The system itself first. Everything else is secondary. Well, I see Trudeau won up there in Canada, and that's a good thing, because he couldn't do as bad as the conservative. The conservative was the worst enemy Canada's ever had, tearing the environmental situation to crap. So if Trudeau does nothing else than try to protect the ecology and the environment, he'll be a good thing. Because that so-called conservative that ran the country was destroying the country. You know, they got a lot of questions on the internet now about from these people that don't like guns. But these are the same people that screaming the fascists are running the government. I can't understand this stuff. Yeah, the progressives are whining, oh my God, the fascists are taking over. We're going to have a dictatorship and everything else, but at the same time, they don't want people to have any guns. How the hell do you figure that out? I mean, it's sort of like the Jews that say, you know, they during World War II, we don't want to have any guns. The guns are dangerous. We're here in Poland in the ghetto. We don't want any guns. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how they can do this twist of thinking about guns. I only have guns for one reason. That's protect my family, protect my property, and protect myself from the government and their agents, if I have to. In most cases, you won't have much of a chance to do that because they come in with overwhelming force, and hardly anybody could stand up to that, including the silly militias. But there are things you can do, but you need, sometimes you need a gun. Now, if they want to take the guns, and then when things get hot, we just invade the National Guard armories and the police stations and take their guns. You know, one squad car's got pretty well armed, got shotguns, they got pistols, everything. They got pepper spray, they got you name it, they got it. So when revolutions break out, guerrillas simply take the guns like ISIS did. The United States leave the weapons laying all around and ISIS picked them up. Or they kill somebody and take their weapons. So you don't have to worry about having a gun, even if they picked all the guns up, or think they picked all, they're never going to pick up all the guns. But even if they tried, you just go out and take guns from the people who've got them. All you need is a piece of piano wire. You don't even need a gun to get a gun. You don't even need a knife to get a gun. Piece of piano wire will take care of it. Okay. All right, so don't leave home without your piano wire. On Yahoo, they have these questions that people ask, and they get answers. Well, it's quite interesting that here's a question. Can any gun-loving American give me a decent argument as to why guns should be legal? The best answer was, nope, because guns shouldn't be legal. Well, if you mean take them away from the government, I would gladly cooperate in disarming the army. They got most of the weapons. So he goes on and says, I mean, rifles are fine, but handguns and automatic weapons are too dangerous. What the hell's the difference? I could kill just as many people with a rifle, probably more, because you can do it from farther away with telescopic sights and maybe even silencers. You know, this is how stupid these people are. I'm also far right, but can't understand why Republicans support keeping something legal that kills people. Well, I have all kinds of things in my kitchen that are legal and can kill people. I mean, guns are not the only thing. I mean, you know, I got a drawer full of super Ginza knives, man. Sometimes in a crowd, you can kill a lot more people with a knife than with a gun. Anyhow, this is some of the silly crap stuff that is out there. This guy says he's the far right. That's what I'm telling you. Don't trust the far right. They're not that bright. Well, I see Jim Webb is going to drop out of the presidential race like he had any chance at all in the beginning. These guys simply run out of money. But when he made the statement on TV about his Vietnam thing and a guy threw a grenade at him and he killed the guy and all that, he was probably a clerk in a supply room like Glenn Miller was. Yeah, remember Glenn Miller? The guy that couldn't tell a Jew from an Aryan or whatever and just started killing people. When he's been drinking, too, of course, he was a drunk. So anyhow, that's the way that goes. But Jim Webb, anybody brags to you about their military service as far as action is usually lying, because the guys that really were in the heavy shit, they don't want to talk about it. I've known a handful of guys, less than a handful of guys, that I knew was really in the shit. They don't want to talk about it. My own uncle, I knew him, you know, all my life. He was in Normandy, and he came back with five or six Purple Hearts, it was Bronze Stars. He had six Bronze Stars. Never told me. never talked about it. I didn't know anything about it until after he died. Let me play just a little bit of what Trump said yesterday, I believe it was. So, very interesting.
You can say, yes, we did well after, but then we also make mistakes there because, yes, we were safe in a sense, but we went into Iraq, which was a disaster decision, just a disastrous decision. Not Afghanistan, because that's probably where we should have gone in the first place, but Iraq was a disastrous decision. Uh-huh. So we go into Iraq and we make a mistake. But, and you can also say, well, is that safe going into Iraq when we're losing thousands of soldiers? That's not safe either, to get right down to it. But I simply said that you can't say that we were safe under, he said, under my brother we were safe. Well, you can't say that because we had the worst attack in the history of this country. If you look at what happened, number one, I would have had much stronger immigration policies. I'm not saying I would have prevented it, but I would have had a chance because I'm pretty good at this stuff.
So, but I'm asking about that. Hold on.
I would have had much stronger immigration policies.
If you were president, you wouldn't allow student visas. I mean, as you know,
I would have had a much tougher visa program. The visas are too easy. And I would have had a much tougher. Well,
you wouldn't allow those going forward.
But Allison. Yes. They knew an attack was coming. George Tenet, the CIA director, knew in advance that there would be an attack. And he said so to the president. And he said so to everybody else that would listen. And that came out. The other thing is the FBI, the NSC, and the CIA were not talking to each other.
Well, now we're getting someplace in this campaign. If this keeps building, it's going to be very interesting. Like I said, as far as I'm concerned, the whole Bush family should have been arrested at the time of the 9/11. And the whole government of Saudi Arabia should have been put under arrest. And think of how many thousands of people, maybe millions of people, it would have saved, plus all the American soldiers that died really for nothing. They're going to come on television and say what heroes they are and all that stuff. They gave their life for the predatory capitalists and whatever, whoever is in charge of all that. Very simple. And so it's going to be interesting if Trump keeps pushing this harder and harder, and we might get something out of this. What that will be is a good question, because it's too late to save the Republic. The Republic is through. It's all over. The so-called nation of the USA is technically over. And so anyone still dwelling on saving and using the Constitution, any of that kind of stuff, forget it. It's over. It's done. There's nothing you're going to do about it. Well, let's read a little bit here in closing about Obama and the war. It probably was inevitable as a matter of how Washington as a whole approaches such things these days, that President Barack Obama would make his decision about keeping 5,500 troops in Afghanistan into 2017. There is too much of an expectation that when internal violence prevails in a country in which the United States has had as much past involvement as has been had in Afghanistan, the United States should have its military forces on the scene to try to do something about it, no matter how dim are the prospects for accomplishing much there. Well, that's ridiculous. You pull them out. You just pull them out. That's it. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to finish that article because he's starting out with the wrong set of ideas. And it's the only way to stop this stuff is to pull out. Let the chips fall where they may. The Afghanis, they've been fighting each other for centuries. And they seem to be able to survive. So pull out. Iraq was the same way. Pull out. Syria, pull out. Well, of course, we don't have troops on the ground there yet, but they want to do it. Pull American troops out from all over the world and see what happens. You're going to have peace. The biggest purveyors of all this crap comes right out of our country, unfortunately. And all you have to do is watch the news carefully and you'll realize that. You know, it's quite interesting for me to follow on Russia Today, which I find is the only one that I can get anything halfway decent out of it. However, there is Euronews, which gives you clips of things going on around the world. Euronews. I like that quite a bit. But anyhow, showing all these pictures from Israel and or Palestine and all the young people throwing rocks and so forth. They got the same kind of a sling that David supposedly used to get Goliath. It's funny, we're back to that again. The Goliath is the damn Jew tanks coming down the street, and David is these young teenagers with rocks and slingshots. Interesting, isn't it? Anyhow, having just returned just a few weeks ago from Israel, I find it very interesting showing the neighborhoods that I had been in. Now, there's major problems in Bethlehem, and I was in Bethlehem for half a day or so. I talked to people on the street. It was quite interesting talking to people on the street and not getting it from a guided tour. That's what I did all over where in Israel. I tried to talk to common people on the street, whether they be Jews or Palestinians. And I got a pretty good picture of what was going on. But anyhow, it's quite interesting to see the very streets that I was walking up and down in the midst of a civil war at the moment. So that's the way that goes. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I gave them all my plans and stuck little notes in crevices of the block walls so that they could get ready for the second infada. Now, I'm not going to tell you I did all those things and prepared for this and got our people all, got our friends, all our ducks in line. I'm not going to tell you that. But it is quite interesting that everywhere they're rioting is where I was at during my trip. Cry your eyes out, Mossad. Well, I see that supposedly this picture came out of U.S. News and World Report or something. Anyhow, by Lee R. And this was in one of the right-wing publications, that Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, is married to a ugly Negro woman. You're shocked. And nowadays, you got to be shocked that it's not a man. And they show this picture with this gal that they're claiming is his wife. If she is, he's got to be mentally retarded. No, mentally insane. This is a very ugly, ugly negress. But since this, a lot of the right-wing stuff is a false flag, I'm not going to jump to conclusions about that. But they're claiming about him being tool of the Jews. They're all tools of the Jews. They don't make any difference because de Blasio's a Democrat, so Republicans are going to, behind the scenes, support the right-wing idea that only Democrats can be serving the Jews. I don't think anybody serves the Jews like the Republicans. I mean, to really do it up brown, they do it. And that's not a euphemism. But if anybody come back and say this black gal that was seen on this maybe false flag picture was really, it's on a Daily Wise slave. I don't know who puts that out, but if that is really his wife, it shows you how insane white men have become. Now, let's see, Jeb Bush is asking for $5 million. Well, $5 donations to help defend Brother George Bush. Forget it, Jeb. You're not going to make it unless they start knocking off the other candidates. Yeah. An insane Marxist salon writer calls for all gun owners to be shot. Well, I wish you'd start shooting so all gun owners could shoot back. I mean, for people to say stupid things like that, that reminds me of the guy I told you about years ago. Stood up, got up on a bar in a beer joint in Long Beach and said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He was a big right winger, and some guy in a bar pulled a gun out and shot him. He didn't die, but he was very lucky he didn't die. Don't go challenging people like that. Don't be stupid. I doubt if many white men even know what liberty once was in this country. Surely the last couple of generations don't. I see here Swedish patriots are burning down housing facilities provided to foreign invaders. Explain to me what a patriot is. I don't like the term. I quit using that term a long time ago. If you mean white people, white separatists are burning down housing facilities in Sweden for these foreign invaders, fine. But what the hell is a Swedish patriot? He could be a Jew that's saying, hell yes, burn them out, because that'll give us Jews more power in Sweden. And I'm sure they're not unhappy with the right wing turning on the Islamists in the Nordic countries, because the Jews want it all. They want it all. They don't want the Islamists coming in and taking any of their power. Oh, do you know that every FBI official, every FBI person that's becoming or training to be an FBI agent has to go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C.? Has to. You can't get out of it. How do you like that? That's cool. Worse is better. Well, if you're white in Minnesota, you better get out of the state, because the governor of Minnesota tells people to leave it if they don't like Somalian invasion of the state. In other words, everything's 180 degrees out. These Somalians are really the bottom of the barrel, I'll tell you. There's a lot of them went to San Diego, filled up whole big apartment buildings full of these Somalians. So, white people of California, get out if you don't like Somalians. I love it. Worse is better, man. Man. I want all you white assholes that are in power to just make your noose a little tighter. Make your noose a little tighter, because it's coming, baby. You're not going to last forever. But you wait and see those white sheep up in Minnesota. They'll reelect this son of a bitch. Because it's their Christian duty, of course. Yeah, Jesus won't love them, and they won't get a place at the right hand of God, and they won't be sitting on a cloud and walking on golden streets and all that kind of shit. No, they got to toe the mark. Well, I see they want to change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. Well, that's okay, because the Viking Nordics were here way, way, way back, hundreds, maybe thousands of years, too. And so if you want to do that, in fact, I love it when you want to do this stuff, because you just piss more people off all the time. And we need a lot more people pissed off before anything can change. Yeah. Now here's a Chicago Archbishop of the Catholic Church. You better watch his step. He calls for tough gun control laws. And citing Pope Francis' blasted arms and trade and blood money. Well, that starts at the top. Disarm at the top. Archbishop Blaise Kupik, the Pontiff's point man in the U.S., may push the volatile issue high on the Catholics' priority agenda. Well, if it comes between protecting your family and the Archbishop, screw the Archbishop, you know that. Fuck you.